It's been a real pleasure.
It's something I look forward to on a Monday.
Andrew, two episodes. It's a kind of achievement. I mean, we've covered a lot of ground and we haven't covered a lot of ground because for the past 100 episodes, we have been talking about government finances and hoping that government finances would come right. Oh, good morning. How are you?
I'm very well. For a podcast that's now a centenary, you know, I think we're doing okay. You know, I mean, so most people don't remember their 100th birthday,
right?
And nor did we really. Okay. So, hey, Jim, this is our 100th or so podcast. So happy birthday to us. Happy birthday to us. See us the next 100. What do you think, Tom?
If we're being honest, it's our 101 podcast. We missed our 100th birthday, which was actually last week.
There's always one that spoils the speech. There's always one that adds a candle to the bloody cake. Okay. Anyway, it's been lots of hours of fun, and I hope all of you listening to it enjoy it as much as we do doing it real time. So let's get on with some real time.
Just before we get there, can I just say that it's been a real pleasure?
No, it has, Tim.
You know, 100 to episodes. It's a kind of achievement, you know, say.
Yes, some more of it. Great pleasure. It's something I look forward to on a Monday.
And I look forward to the Marxisms. There's always Marxisms that emanate.
Right.
They are little sort of quippy statements.
And so far, we've managed to disguise all the ums.
Who is responsible for those, perhaps?
We've got your deep wisdom mixed with my superfluous, what do you call them? Superficial comments. And so it all kind of works out.
Definitely. I mean, we've covered a lot of ground and we haven't covered a lot of ground because for the past 100 episodes, we have been talking about government finances and hoping that government finances would come right.
Yeah.
And it turns out not so much. We're now 2 days away from the budget and there's still no agreement on what the budget will look like.
Until we change the team, we're not going to change the scoreline. Okay. So there's going to be things to talk about forever, things to criticize, things to ask. I mean, so that's, you know, it just occurs to me, if you look at the budget, I read somewhere that our Honorable Minister of Finance said, it's either VAT increase or stop social grants, you know, the social release of distress grants. Now, then,
it
is an extraordinary summary, okay? Because that summary basically says that we've got to take money from somewhere. There's never a discussion about making money. Okay. We've got an economy where we've got GDP growth way below the birth rate, you know, and below inflation and all of these things, which means that we're a net negative producer of stuff. Okay. Now, in that circumstance, I suppose you are left with little option but to take something from someone. We might call it the Robin Hood economy. Okay. Take from the rich and give to the poor.
Right.
But what about planting stuff, Tim? What about building? What about creating? What about making this an investment destination for, you know, foreign direct investment? We can't just keep taking off the table. We've got to put something on, haven't we?
I know, you put it very well. The Robin Hood economy,
yeah.
You know, nobody would say that that's necessarily a bad thing.
No, it's not.
So long as there were also, you know, the growth part of the equation was operating. But so long as the growth part of the equation is operating, you can't Robin Hood your way out of your problems.
You can't because the food runs out and everyone starves together. We'll all starve together when we go.
And no one thinks like that. Nobody thinks about the mentality is not there. You know, it's a sort of strange thing. There are odd examples of how we accidentally fall into growth projects.
Yeah, wonderful.
Yeah, it's totally unintentional. And one of them was this great idea have their own solar panels. So,
But it is the answer. It is the only answer.
In desperation,
yeah.
The government said, okay, listen, you can put up some solar panels if you want to.
Yeah.
And weirdly, that turned into a growth industry very fast. You know, it's amazing how just a little bit of deregulation can make an enormous difference to your growth profile.
Yeah.
It's a shocker.
I was going to say, typically a boer maak 'n plan, but that's not a phrase you want to be quoted on anymore.
That would be,
you know, borderline high treason. So, but you see, is it just too damn hard to plant things? Is it just too far away, you know, not immediate gratification? Because Unfortunately, at some point, we're going to have a 3 and a 5 and a 10 year plan. Otherwise, we cannot attract capital. People do not invest capital in an entirely consumption-driven economy that is not feeding itself. Okay. So we have to arrest that. Now, the trouble is the term of office of those responsible for it keeps rotating and revolving, and maybe that's what's going to stop it, is that there's going to be a complete change of government. You know, which says, okay, guys, get ready to bite on your bottom lip and wait and work, because there's no other way out, and we all know this, man. That's the first thing we do. The next thing we do is we borrow money for consumption. Now, I'm sorry, you cannot borrow money to eat. You can't, because it just doesn't work out in there, particularly with real interest rates in our country are probably one of the highest in the world. So all of the fundamentals suggest that the strategies that we are pursuing are going to destroy us. Take that for a Monday morning boost.
Yes, yes. Can I ask a question related to the, you know, 100 issue?
Yeah.
Do you think that age has got something to do with it? All around the world, age is supposed to lead to, you know, greater wisdom and understanding and all of that sort of stuff. But I just get the feeling that South Africa's politicians are too old. You know, there isn't enough refreshing. Somebody asked me that recently, well, who are the young bright stars in the political firmament? You know, I was very hard pressed to mention, you know, the new generation, you know, and what are the new generation thinking? And oddly enough, the new generation seems vested in other parties which have even worse ideas. It's a strange contradiction.
Yeah, this is not a South African phenomenon, of course, but it is particularly obvious here. Where we have a respect your elders culture, which sort of overrides everything. And the challenge is this. You've got to have leaders who've got a longer future than their past.
Okay? Yeah.
You actually have to have leaders who've got more interest in the future than the past. Yeah. Okay, now we have a past which we carry around with us, and we have done forever, and we probably will do in some form. But we have to sort of build out of that rather than carry it as a forever burden. So I agree with you. And what's more, the fastest growing population in the world is the over 60s now, okay? And in whatever it is, in 50 years' time, they'll constitute 30% of the population on the earth, and they have to be fed. They don't produce, they consume. So you add all of these things together, and you have to double produce, okay, to cater for the aged, to cater for the backlog, to cater for the, to repay the debt. We are in such a hole that it's going to take an extraordinary leadership, 3 to 5 years, just to get onto hard ground. Now, that's difficult, okay? And that requires common cause. Common cause comes from two sources: profound visionary leadership or desperation.
Are we not desperate? Are we not desperate yet? We should be. We're pretty desperate. We've got to be desperate at this point.
Well, we're not universally. But Tim, we're not universally desperate.
There is.
You see? We're not universally desperate. We are not facing an existential crisis across all groups. It's close. I mean, we now spend more time worrying about sources of water and electricity and education and toilets and basic things. But at some point, it's going to get so basic that the shelves and the grocery stores will be empty. That's when people gather. I'd hate to take us all the way there.
Can I ask a question related to your comment about, is it too hard, you know, to think of growing things?
Mm.
That's about the creation of big projects. Does it surprise you? You know, I was just reading about South Africa's water system.
Yeah.
You know, people don't realize this, but everybody who drinks water in Johannesburg has to thank for that privilege some very long-sighted engineers who decided to build a very big dam in Lesotho.
Yeah.
You know, and this was not a small project, because you have to build the dam, and then you have to build a whole bunch of waterways that get the water to Johannesburg. This is it's a sort of complex task, right? And it takes years. So now, obviously, they're thinking about a new one, and they keep on thinking about it. But projects on that scale, I don't see them coming off the drawing board. And I don't know whether it's just me or whether, you know, I'm not concentrating enough or whether they're just not coming off the drawing board. What do you think?
They're not. I was involved. Standard Merchant Bank was the lead financier and capital raiser for the Lesotho Highlands Development Authority. Okay.
Right.
I'll tell you an amusing story. We went down there to look at what was then just a trickle of the river down in a canyon, essentially. That's all it was.
Right.
And then the engineers built this thing. And I don't know if you know how dam walls are built, but dam walls are built convex to the flow so that when the power of water comes, it actually just pushes the wall deeper into the mountain.
Right.
Okay. And it diverts the pressure from the middle. So at a tipping point, the wall facing from the other side of the river turns through the vertical.
Okay.
And that's when the engineers invited the merchant banks to come climb the wall.
Okay.
And so there we were on these palisades walking up a wall which was turning in vertical. And so that put us in our place. But you would never have thought. We stood there in awe of the fact that this little trickle, and I'll get to my point now, was one day going to be this powerful supply of water.
Okay.
And that's the inspiration. And we raised the money easily, from international and local capital provided because it was a virtuous long-term project. So the point is it's easy if people believe, but who believes? Where does the expertise lie within government? Conjure up such a fabulous scheme and to get the engineers and everyone to make sure it's going to work so that you can present it, because people must be crying out for such beautiful capital. Instead of lending money to the city or lending money to the country where there's no prospect of being repaid, capital investors around the world would be delighted to invest in projects. We just don't have any on the table, do we? I haven't seen any.
Yep. You know, one of the things that I think is so intriguing about capital raising is how much money is available to projects that don't seem to have any, you know, immediate payback. And a good example of that is the fact that over this past week, there have been two private moon landing craft that have actually made it to the moon. I mean, who funds that? Why? What are they doing? It's just fantastic. And so it's wonderful that people did. And it's wonderful that they made it to the moon.
No, but I mean, all of this is really funded by the economic value of satellites. Okay. I mean, that's funding it. That's why Musk is so rich. It's because of comms is going off the ground. But I don't know. It seems to me that people don't think beyond their term of office or their monthly paycheck. But I actually, to sound unwisely optimistic, I think the crisis is upon us. And I think we will gather. We are a resilient bunch as South Africans, across all of us.
Right.
And I think gatherings and murmurings and things are starting to happen. I think, but then we come up again, we want to get these properties back that are stolen in the city of Joburg. And the president says, well, that's where the expropriation bill comes. Rubbish, man. That's where the law should come. Who owns the properties? Go and get your property back. You don't have to, the state just take it from you instead of the thieves.
Right.
And so we have these unconventional wisdoms, which are guiding us, misguiding us, I might say. I don't know. We need change. We need change and we need partnership. There's no use sitting on the opposite side of the field shouting at each other. We actually have to get onto the field, experience the feel of the pitch, and start talking together. And that applies across the board, SOEs, everything. Anyway, let's hope they get it together.
May I just disagree with you for a moment here?
It won't be the first time and it won't be the last.
Okay. I quite like the idea of shouting at each other across the pitch. I mean, I thought what happened this week was actually quite significant, because what happened was that the president did a tour of Johannesburg and came to the conclusion that, you know, Johannesburg wasn't looking so great, you know, and he was a little bit worried about the fact that in November, a whole bunch of foreign ministers from basically every important country in the world are going to descend on Joburg, and, you know, the robots are falling over. You know, he lives in Johannesburg, right? He should know this. You know, why does he not know this already? But anyway, the act of being, you know, out there and, you know, saying it publicly, I think is quite a big change. I haven't heard that kind of, you guys have got to get your stuff together.
Well, apparently he reached out, as they say.
Right. He reached out to who?
He has said in the press that he asked the president to call for help, basically.
Right.
And so we'll find out. But I don't really care how we got to the point where we're all focused and doing something about it, as long as we're there, you know. And, you know, and I think that the cause for this, which is to put on a bit of makeup and dress up for some foreigners, is rubbish. Okay. I mean, you know, what we've got to do is maybe we've got to do that little show, But if that's where it ends, then we've really gone even more backwards. So we've got to go to the fundamental, down in the streets, fix it up, fix up Bree Street. Apparently now, and I haven't been to the city personally for a few months, but I will go. There are not potholes anymore. There's just no tar at all in some of the streets. Okay. So, you know, you used to have a hole underneath the tar. Now there's no tar at all, which is, I guess, one solution. I mean, and Oxwagons cope quite well with dusty roads. I mean, where are we going, Tim? You know. So I hope we care enough about each other, which I think we still do, to get off our bums and go and work together. All right, on that positive note, what are you expecting in the budget, actually?
I find it incredibly disturbing that they haven't come to an agreement and it's basically, you know, 48 hours away. And I don't understand why they haven't been able to agree on a spending review. That seems to me just completely sensible. Because, first of all, it was something that the president promised 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I don't know. I can't understand why the NC is resisting that. And I think the DA, they've got to just bite on the bullet and accept the idea of a small VAT increase.
Well, I think it's coming. I think it should be a conditional acceptance. With all these things, I think the people who've got the capital or the sway should make conditional agreements. We will do this if and only if, you know, you do that. But I think one of the keys to Johannesburg's future is the informal economy. I can tell you that we'd be much worse off, far more pervasively worse off, if we didn't have a thriving informal economy. In Johannesburg, there's a thriving informal economy that doesn't pay tax, that doesn't regulate, that charges extortionary rentals and extortionary prices, and very few people make a lot of money. And if we invited that economy in, we'd probably be able to reduce VAT and earn more, okay? Because we are ignoring the unlicensed, the unregulated, the untaxed, and yet the fabulous, you know, informal economy where things really take place. And that, I think, is one of our survivors.
There's an interesting division that has developed between Edward Kiswito, the commissioner of the South African Revenue Service, and the finance ministry. Because Kiswito thinks that he can, you know, given a little bit of a boost, he could find the tax that they are looking for, which I think is completely realistic. I don't know how you calculate
absolutely
the tax that is falling outside of the tax net.
Huge.
But it's just obvious to everybody that enormous parts of the informal business sector in South Africa are outside of the tax net. And, you know, maybe that's what we want. We don't want them taxed, you know, when they are, you know, in their kind of startup phase, but we want to invite them into the system, make sure that doing so is easy and allow them the room to grow, provide them with the capacity to borrow and to expand.
Yeah.
And all that depends on convincing them that it's worth it, and that they'll be treated respectfully, and that nobody's going to steal their money, and that they're not going to be put out of business. And you know, all of those things are more or less true. You have to be earning quite a lot of money before the tax bills really start coming in.
You have to be making a profit, okay, first of all, before you pay tax in a business. Okay, so we should enable them to make profit, and there must be some feedback loops. You know, if your community is making the money, your community gets the school, mate. You know, and the sanitation system and all of those kinds of things. There is a way to invite people in, but there's some other unknown variables that we should start pondering. First of all, you know, what percentage of those are South African nationals?
Okay. Right.
And so on. There's so many variables that will not contribute to a formalized economy. And therein lies the rub. And the reason why people don't want Kiswito to get amongst the rich is because many of them aren't entirely squeaky clean about how they got their butt, okay? And so there's enough food on the table for everyone to eat if we keep on producing it. And if we don't, we're all starved together. I mean, it's so obvious. You could sit in a room for 48 hours and find the 10 things that work. But what we do, we will create another discussion group that'll be in perpetuity and go nowhere. I don't know. Tim, let's hope we get it together. Let's hope this budget has kind of got a half a solution in it somewhere, an encouragement.
Right.
Because all of the elements are against us as we currently stand and are currently governed and guided.
Can I just make one very important point? this whole podcast, we have not mentioned that T word once.
Yeah.
And isn't that a pleasure? That is also something to put in the plus column. That American guy.
I know we didn't mention the T word anymore. Yeah. I don't know. That'll also unravel one day. There's too many egos in one space there, if you ask me.
I know.
And there are some leadership changes around the world. There's a new guy in Canada. Maybe change is taking place. There are 10 people in whose hands the peril of the world lies. And we need to think about who should take their place.
Good enough. Mark, I will speak to you again next week.
Next week.
And we will know what the budget says at that point.
You will indeed. Yeah, and then we'll be full of it.
Cheers, everyone. Have a good week.